All right, here we go. Talking Tactics Podcast. My name is Daniel.
It's your boy, Half to the Hope.
We do the podcast every Tuesday. Speaking of, next week is an international break. I don't think we're going to be here. There's going to be some logistical switches and things that are going to be happening. We're moving from SoundCloud to the Megaphone platform. So based on our news from last week that we're going to be, you know, trying to monetize the podcast a little bit, there's some technical things that have to happen. So during the international break, if you don't hear from us, it's technical issues. We'll keep you guys updated on Twitter. So remember to follow us on Twitter at Talking Tactics. If you're listening on Spotify, remember to give us a follow. If you're on Apple Podcasts, subscribe. It's free. The technological changes won't affect where you listen unless you listen perhaps on SoundCloud, but not that many people listen on SoundCloud.
Or if you listen in a cave or in Siberia, man. It depends, man.
Speaking of Siberia, have you seen what's going on with Russia?
I read something about some China warplanes. China are flying some warplanes around.
I've been reading a bunch of stuff about, you know how Twitter makes everything like it's World War III, it's Armageddon, it's the end of the world. I don't know when to take what seriously, but this seems quite serious. Speaking of, you know, Russia and Siberia and things, hit us up on Patreon. Let's get into this week because there's a lot of stuff to get through. So I asked Have Hope before the show, what do you want to talk about? First thing that came out of his mouth was we have to talk about Chelsea. So Chelsea played Tottenham 3 times in 10 days, and that's like it's a punishment for Antonio Conte for some reason. They're like, you know, you left severance package, etc., etc. He got beat 3 times in 3 days three times by the same team in 10 days.
Did you hear his press conference? Like when Conte literally came out and said, "Look, we're crap." He said that no, like we suck, like we're actually crap, like. Like it's minimum of 2 or 3 years for us to even live or even breathe in the same room as these dudes.
Oh, I didn't hear that part. The post match I listened to was the one he did with beIN Sport. It's on YouTube. It's like 3 minutes. The lady asked him at the beginning like a very complicated question, and I was like, "Is he going to be able to catch all of this?" And he just about did, but yeah, he got the gist. He was basically like, "Yeah, like Chelsea are just a better team than us." Like, which again, I'm like, do you know, like, you're not supposed to say these types of things about Spurs in a relation to Chelsea? Like, maybe any other team you can say these things, but now it's going to be used as evidence against Spurs by Chelsea fans.
Maybe he's saying that to put pressure
on Levy.
Put pressure on Levy. By simply dancing so public, it will then get fans onto his side, and by getting fans onto his side, you'll now put pressure on Levy. But my thing for Conte is that surely you must have known that this is what you were coming into. That Levy, Levy was never going to he was never going to support you in the markets. That was never going to happen. Because you know how guys say, "Oh no, you know, Tottenham, you know, they could beat like Tottenham are not going to beat, they're never going to beat Chelsea." Because the way Tottenham is run, it's run as a business. Levy runs it as a business. So because he runs it as a business, he's not interested in, okay, I'm not going to really invest into these players and I'm actually going to try and break the bank and so forth. Because he's like, because if you're a Tottenham fan, you should actually feel it with that. Wait a minute. See, you haven't seen Tottenham Stadium. You see, I had to do like a little news segment thing outside of Tottenham Stadium. Bro, this thing looks like a nuclear device. Like, they said that it is the first truly modern stadium in the world, the first fully modern football stadium in the world. Like, this thing, it looks like a freaking nuclear device. But yet, we can hardly compete with any of these other teams. So it says that, because that's why, like, you have to really feel a way if you're a sports fan and you look at Levy, because you're like, why don't you, because that city must have cost a ridiculous amount of money, but why not use that money? Because White Hart Lane was fine, you know? Why not use that money that you poured into this stadium into actually investing into players? But for Levy, that's like winning trophies. That is not his concern. His concern is milking this for as much money and business as possible. Because as opposed to Abramovich or Sheikh Mansour, these are football fans who this is my team and I want my team to do well and I want my team to win trophies. But for Levy, for me, I don't think Levy's even a football fan. That's the scary thing. I don't think the guy even likes football that much. If he likes football, maybe it's in the most casual sense. So for Conte, I just think that Conte was like, look, if Conte really believed that he was going to be supported in the market, then the guy is truly naive. I think he's like, look, man, let me just get the bag and get this old money and let me move, man. You know, because now you see what Mourinho was having to deal with. Like I told you, like, you see, there's Dodd and there's Doi. You see, Dodd
of
impossibility. So basically, Dodd, you can achieve Dodd, but it's hard. Doi, you can't achieve it. It's impossible. You know, so like winning a major trophies with sports, that's Doi, which you can do. So
degree of impossibility. No, there can't be degrees to impossibility. Impossibility just is. I understand you want the continuity of the DOI.
Look, don't be a... You know, so.
By the way, speaking of words, like, have you been playing this Wordle thing? I mean, maybe it's not up your alley, but I've been quite addicted over the past couple weeks to, figuring out...
What?
It's like have you seen people posting, or maybe me, but others posting like these green and yellow squares on your timeline? Or do you not investigate the timeline too much?
I don't go on my timeline.
Oh, okay.
All I read, I only use Twitter for my notifications. Like, I mean, after the nonsense I see, I just don't go on my timeline. So.
Okay. It's like a word puzzle game. But
okay.
Anyway. No, I was going to say Ziyech isn't a five-letter word. It's a six-letter. By the way, people who say Ziyech, Ziyech, guys, come on.
I've heard so many different names. Basically, I need to ask a Moroccan, how do you actually say his name properly?
All the North Africans who I hear talk about him say Ziyech. They don't say Ziyech. All the British people who talk about him say Ziyech.
Ziyech,
yeah.
Ziyech.
But the British people, they go Ziyech. So I'm going to go with the North African people.
Bro. Back in the day, because I don't know whether you were watching football back in the late 90s, early 2000s.
If I had access to it. But it wasn't a regular occasion, no.
Oh, yeah. No, because basically, when Solskjaer was playing, the commentators used to call him Solskjaer. and then me and my brothers were like, wait a minute. There is no E after the R. So you're just adding that there. So why would you say Solskjaer when it's like there's no E after the R? So I'm like, what?
You know, yeah. As someone, maybe we can both be empathetic to this. As somebody with not a standard surname, people are happy to just fuck it up. Adding letters, mispronouncing letters, foolishness.
Basically, there are guys that know me from my English name and the guys that know me from my Nigerian name.
Mm-hmm.
So my English name, again, it's super easy, very, very basic. But then when I became like aware, socially conscious, I was like, oh, I don't want to use an English name. So then, but my Nigerian name, the full version, no one can say it. And no one can say it properly. So I have to shorten it. But the issue is that when I shorten it, it doesn't actually make sense. It only makes sense with the full name. But because people will never be able to say it, I just have to shorten it. So I think from a certain point, people now just know me for my Nigerian and they don't know my English name. So,
Ziyech. This is what I wanted or expected from him when he was bought. There was a waiting period in between whether or not it was official or what was actually happening and this and that. And I was like, everybody was just, he's here. He's coming. He's from Ajax. And I guess this was after what happened in the Champions League where he scored the goal that went off Kepa's face and all those types of things. I was very hesitant. One, I didn't want to jinx it, but I was just like, this is a player that I've always wanted to see, at least in the Premier League, if not for Chelsea, for somebody, because he was stuck at Ajax for too long. And the past, 2 years almost, they haven't been great. But it seems as if in the last, 2 weeks or so, maybe month, he's seeming better.
It's still a long way from the guy that I expected from Ajax and so forth. You know, it's still a long way away, but it's promising. You know, it's promising. But I think, look, if you're being real, man, like if Ziyech was the guy that you saw at Ajax and so forth, mm-hmm. Chelsea are a different team. But then it's like, again, it goes back to adaptability.
Yeah.
The way that Ten Hag and Ajax play is completely different from this back three weird kind of rigid formation that Tuchel has, you know. So playing in a team where you have like four or five guys ahead of you all moving around is very different from just having one or two, three guys are around you. One of them being Werner and Pulisic. So,
you know, it's like if Ziyech had the same performance level that he did in the Eredivisie in the Premier League, one that would be difficult to do because the levels in the leagues are different. But he replaces Eden Hazard's absence. I don't know if you saw the Gary Neville, Frank Lampard piece where he was like, you know, Eden Hazard was like 50% of the goals or whatever it is. If you look at some of the seasons that Ziyech had where he was like, you know, 15 assists, 10 goals, 17 assists, probably near 20 assists and a bunch of us in a few seasons at Ajax, those are like Hazard-esque numbers of where you're getting double digits in everything.
Oh, yeah.
So if you could replicate that coming from, I was going to say Holland, but the Netherlands to England, I mean, that's pretty, that would be impressive.
No, I mean, but then again, it's like, again, which is why, is there an Eredivisie tax? Look at Frankie de Jong with
Barca. It's not even a tax because you should expect it.
No, but my thing is that if you look at De Ligt, you look at De Jong, look at Ziyech, none of them have actually been great since they've left Ten Hag.
Perhaps.
Like, I'm also called a well, you see, I was going to say a howler, but he did, I mean, Champions League is the Champions League because, I mean, like, he's not scored yet at AFCON. So
is that an Eredivisie tax or is it just an Ajax tax that playing in this team makes you appear to be better than you are because of the dominance that Ajax has?
No, but again,
relative to the rest of the league, barring maybe PSV.
Basically, it's like system merchants. See, if you're a system merchant, that's not a bad thing. People think whenever you use the word merchants, people just think that's like a negative connotation. Yes. But for instance, Griezmann is a system merchant, but that doesn't mean he's a bad player. It just means that outside of his system, he's not that good. Put him in the right system, he's amazing.
Yeah.
As we've now learned, I think Lukaku is a system merchant, maybe even more.
You know, I was trying to do this whole podcast without mentioning
Daniel Lukaku. We are having a Lukaku conversation.
We're not. You can have what you
want. Because it's time for you to come around to reality. Because yeah.
Let's
not do any of this black whites. I know we don't protect our brothers, but I can only protect my brothers to a certain point.
I thought you said you didn't read the timeline. How do you just know what I'm gonna say?
Someone said that you know, during Lukaku's like disaster class.
Oh boy.
Yesterday. Someone said
you call that a disaster class?
Oh, I want to see DT Tran protect him now. I was like, don't worry, I'll meet him on Monday, then on we'll talk.
But no, the Eredivisie tax. It might be real. It might be real. I think it's more Ajax tax. But system merchants, yes. There's a connotation when you say merchant that's it's negative.
Mm.
But how many players don't play well within particular systems? Very few.
Oh, no. I mean,
that are systemless.
Off the top of my head. Put Kante anywhere, he'll walk. Put Neymar anywhere, he'll walk. Put Modric anywhere, he'll walk. You can put Cruz anywhere, he'll walk. You can put Cristiano. Obviously, he's injured now, but pick Cristiano, put him anywhere, he'll walk. I think Ibrahimovic is the kind of guy where put him anywhere, he'll force the team to play the way that he plays. So there are many guys who put them anywhere, they walk. Because it's the kind of player that you are. And your kind of skills, because the guys that have a very particular kind of a skill set and play a very particular way, and the guys who are, they just have this natural talent where, okay, this is something different. Give me a few matches, I'll figure it out. I can tweak my game because I've got so much in my toolbox.
Okay. What do you want to say about Lukaku?
Well, I want to ask you a question. I want to switch it up right now.
Flip the script. Let's go. Okay.
So after his performance against Tottenham, mm-hmm. are you still defending Lukaku?
I forgot what I said. It was the chance that Mount forced through, not the first one, but the second one, where the ball came pretty fast and it was on Lukaku's weaker foot. And I made that observation that it was on his right foot. And that's just me being fair and balanced, I guess. I mean, when you say fair and balanced in the United States, that brings up a nasty connotation with Fox News. But yeah, I just thought I was stating something that I didn't see much on the timeline, that, yeah, he could have done better and should have done better. I think he tried to do more with the ball than he probably should have. Just get your foot on it, put it on goal, and hopefully Lloris can't get there. But he's left-footed, so maybe it makes sense that he's trash with his weak foot or not as good. But in pointing that out, at least one person took it as like, man, why are you defending Lukaku? If you have an extreme on one side and an extreme on the other side of like, he's trash, he's a brick, or he's the best striker in the world, give him time. And I just say one thing, which I feel is just a fact, that it's on his right foot. It makes sense he didn't do as well as maybe you'd expect. It seems like to the either extreme, I'm like another extreme. Because I'm not going far enough with he's Tim's or he's Lukaku or he's this or he's that, which I will never do, because I feel like that traffic's in a particular lane that I'm not willing to go in.
But what about the missed kick?
That's the goal I'm talking about.
No, I'm talking about both. So we talked about the right foot. Okay, that was on his weak
foot. That was on his right foot. The both chances fell to his right foot, I think. It's especially the second one where he completely missed the ball. It was on his weaker foot. It's not like he was striking it with his left.
Daniel, hold up. You're saying that, so you're cutting him bail for the missed kick because it was on his weaker foot.
I'm saying that maybe helps explain why it looked like that.
Daniel, that's, come on, Daniel, stop. Daniel, stop it. Daniel, stop, stop. You see, Daniel, see, I can give you the first one of like, even if, for me, if you're a top striker, weaker foot or not, you should still get it on target from that far out.
And I said on the timeline, he should have done better. I'm not excusing I'm saying that maybe helps explain it.
I know, but let's put that, because trust me, we're going to get very real on Lukaku. This is just the starters. We're going to get to the main course very soon.
Okay.
The second one is the miskey, that's just bad. Left foot, right foot, weaker foot, or that's just bad. Because Mount puts it to you on a very good opportunity for where, if you had any connection, that thing goes on target and now you're forced the keeper to make a save from that far out. That missed kick, that's just straight bad. So, you know, you're playing against a defensive team and Tottenham did not come to play. They came to get like a 0-0 draw. Mm-hmm. So you know that any chance you get, you have to be clinical. And the two chances that were given to you, you screwed them up. Neither chance even went on target. So that's one
thing. I'm not calling that first one a great chance. That's like a half chance, because the ball was behind him. No.
That's
him.
A good chance, because, bro, wasn't he in the area?
The ball was behind him, HH. He had to reach back and get it and then shoot. Like, I know that sounds like I'm defending him in some like staunch way, but that's just how I see the game. Like, it's not like he's 1v1 with the keeper.
Okay.
And he, like a Timo Werner type of miss. You understand what I'm saying?
I know. Okay. I get it.
But the second one is bad. We can agree on that one.
One is bad. Lukaku is going to regret leaving Inter Milan because you've exposed yourself now.
I mean,
because what I'm seeing is the dude I saw at Man United. Because I'm sorry, he looks bad. He looks cumbersome. He looks heavy, slow. Him trying to do stepovers is frightening to look at. It is frightening, because the whole point of the step over is you're doing it very quickly. You're doing it so quickly that the defender doesn't know whether you're going to go right or go left, because those legs are moving over so quickly. So by the time you now decide to go left or go right, the defender is totally bamboozled. But if you're doing it slowly, someone like Eric Dier can be like, mate, what are you doing? I'm easy going to defend you. Don't say Eric Dier. Yeah, like Eric Dier's like, mate, what are you doing? Like, and that's why it was an easy day for Dier. Like, wait, are you really trying to do stepovers at 1 mile per hour? Lukaku is in a horrible position because you have to combine the interview. Mm-hmm. I also have to combine it with the fact that who scored the winning goal for Inter against Venezia in the last minute? Dzeko. Mm-hmm. So everything is just like, the universe is just sort of coming together to say that, Lukaku, you really messed up. Because he will know, he may not say this in public, but he'll know in private that, damn, whatever Inter offered, because of the financial situation that we're in, I should have accepted. Because I had such a horror show at United when I was clowned, and bro, I had him at like a class A brick. I was abusing him completely. You finally find a safe even as Inter wing. Why actually look like a top striker? You've been totally rebranded. You got arrogant, which is why in football, know your limits. But Lukaku thought after just one really good season that, hey, I'm that dude, I'm the big man, I can do all of these things. You now come to the Premier League for unfinished business, and now you're not exposed. Because you're not a Benzema or Lewandowski, who put Benzema or Lewandowski in any team, any system, they'll be amazing. But you're not as adaptable as those guys. You have to have a team that's built around it. Tuchel didn't want Lukaku. He never did. He was just like, okay, well, we need a striker. I'll take him. But he never wanted him. Conte wants Lukaku. Hence why he built the team around him to suit him. And when you want a guy, you know their strengths, you know their weaknesses. And you build a system to try to cloud their weaknesses as possible, as much as possible, and accentuate their strengths as much as possible. If you didn't really want a guy, and you're told that this guy is a top guy, like, okay, you're a top guy, this is my system, perform. I'm not going to cater anything for you. Come here, perform. That's if you don't want a guy. And it's always that Tuchel didn't want Lukaku, you know, or rather, he didn't want Lukaku as much as Conte wanted him.
I mean, he started him in the last few games when maybe it would have been easier to take him out. I could make the argument, it appears as if Tuchel wants him. To be honest, I was almost surprised to see his name in the starting 11 based off what we've seen the last couple of games.
No. When someone is already here, you're like, look, he's already here, so I've got to try and use what I have. Because, see, there's a lot of pieces in play.
Want to have this conversation, but go ahead.
Because
this would be like a 30-minute conversation.
No. Let's not even spend too much on this. But if you know that this dude cost 100 mil, and your employer invested a lot into it, you almost feel indebted or a pressure to try and fit them in. I think Tuchel is the kind of guy who, okay, I can make it work. I can make it work. You see, I came into Chelsea. No, my team. I can make it work. I can make it work. You know, like Pep is, no, give me my players, give me my team, and then I'll do it for you. See, Conte, well, because I don't know, Mourinho. So there are certain guys who, whatever is here, I can adapt. So he's like, okay, I didn't want him, but because I believe in my managerial abilities, I can make it work and try and figure it out with him and so forth. So that's what him is figuring out. But I still do not believe that Tuchel wants Lukaku, because I think Tuchel is the kind of guy who wanted mobility up front and much more fluidity in attack. So the key thing for Lukaku is only be arrogant when you're actually good. You see, you can say all you want about Cristiano, but he does score those goals. He does score those winning goals. You can say what you want with Ibrahimovic, but the guy has scored some of the most craziest goals ever. For Lukaku, all you've had is one great season for Inter Milan, and some pretty good performances for Belgium, like that performance in against Brazil. But there's not a big enough sample size for you to even look Aguero, Cannibal Suarez, Lewandowski, Benzema in the eye. Maybe things will get better, but this could turn out to be a pretty, pretty nasty, ugly season for Lukaku, man. But just the bottom line is that if I could advise him, yeah, during last summer, say, Lukaku, whatever Inter are offering, of course you deserve to be paid more. But if I advise you, whatever these guys are offering you, accept it and remain here at Inter Milan. This will be the best thing for your career. So,
okay. Do you have any more questions with me on Lukaku? Because I'm still gonna be talking about Chelsea, but it's not gonna be directly Lukaku linked. So
no. But one last thing. Okay. So you still feel that? So what Lukaku did in that game wasn't crap. You still feel that he can still do something and so forth.
I thought he was the worst of the attacking players. If you look at Lukaku, Mount, Ziyech, and Hudson-Odoi, I thought he was the worst performer. But that's under the knowledge or understanding that Ziyech was fantastic. Hudson-Odoi was really good. And Mount, I thought, was really good as well. So they all played very, very well, to where he would have had to play at least on their level or better to be better. I thought he was just fine. Like, he didn't lose the ball clumsily too many times, maybe like once. I saw him like, bro, like that's not you. Like, don't do that. But most of like his layoffs, he found Hudson-Odoi in space a few times. He just doesn't get the ball in areas where I think like, okay, now he has a chance to shoot it. And I think that goes probably more to the team dynamic, which is where I'm trying to go. So you said Tuchel didn't want Lukaku. I don't think that matters. That's not Tuchel's job description. Tuchel is a head coach. He's not a manager. And then you brought up Pep, who is a manager. Pep is a manager. Klopp is a manager. I don't know how many other managers there are, but we can use those two for an example. Every player that comes into Manchester City, Pep has, I think, direct, tangible input on I want him or I don't want him or he can leave or whatever the case may be, which is why the whole Aguero thing, he's leaving, we can't replace him. Like, bro, you're the manager of the club. You're deciding this. Why are you trying to act like you did some, like it's something out of your control? It's not. You're the manager of the club. Chelsea haven't had a manager since 2015, since Mourinho. Conte came in and they started doing the head coach thing. Sarri's been a head coach. Lampard was a head coach. Tuchel's a head coach. A head coach and a manager are two different things. A manager is someone who controls literally every aspect of the club. A coach is just an employee for all intent and purpose. Maybe they have some input, but it's not direct and tangible input on what the club is doing. That goes back to the board. Once they had that second spell with Mourinho, they were like, I don't think we want to give anybody that much power over the club again. Or, because if you remember the window that Mourinho had, he was the manager and expected to have final say on who would come, who would go, how the money would be spent. And he didn't get that, which is what caused, you know, the conflict. You know, they bought Pedro and Chilaboji and Michael Hector and Baba Ramen, and they loaned in Falcao. Falcao, I think, was Mourinho's doing. But Tuchel, you don't get to choose necessarily. Maybe you get input, but you don't get to choose, like, this is my player. I want this player. Bring me my players. You don't get that. If you remember the Mourinho-ism where he's like, you know, there's grade A eggs, grade B eggs, grade C eggs, or whatever it was. Like,
Wait, why do you say that Tuchel doesn't get to choose?
I think he gets input. He gets to say, I would like this player, I would like that player, but he doesn't get direct, tangible input on who's coming in the same way that Pep or Klopp do, because he's just a coach. He's not a manager. And I think that distinction is very important, because it means it's not your job to say, these aren't my players, I can't play them, whatever the case may be. Like, Chelsea buy you the ingredients, make the best recipe from the ingredients that we give you. It's not make the dish that you want to make.
So Tuchel basically wins the Champions League with these guys. Boom, massive thing. Yep. And it's like, okay, cool, this is the summer. So I would like these players, boom, boom, boom. And then they're like, okay, cool. But we actually think that this player, we think, fits your system. But Tuchel is like, I'm the manager. I'm the guy leading this.
He's not the manager, HH. He's the head coach. And I know that sounds like it's semantic, but it's not. He's just he's the first team head coach. He's not a manager.
Well, okay, well, then that's a problem.
if that's the problem with Chelsea, is that the person who's pulling the strings, Marina Granovsky, is not a football person.
So, Tuchel, but it seems as if you're saying that Tuchel needs to shoulder some blame because it's his job to try to figure it out with Lukaku.
I don't care if you don't want Lukaku or not. Get the best from him. Whatever system works, get the best from him. Whatever system gets the best from Werner, do it. Whatever, and obviously...
Now, obviously, these
don't overlap. Because the system that best fits Lukaku might not be the one that best fits Havertz. I meant to say Havertz, not Werner. So maybe there's no overlap, and then you get to choose whichever one you want to do. But I think that distinction is being lost with a lot of people, that it's not Tuchel's job to just... He's not picking the players. I think he might say, hey, it would be great. I would like Haaland. But it's not him with the money going to Borussia Dortmund, if he even could, and say, hey, here's the 120 million, give me the player. Like, it doesn't... I don't think he has that much input, really. Whereas somebody like Pep or Klopp, I think they do. And that's why their teams are like they are, because the manager is a king.
If you're saying that's how it works, then I can't put blame onto Tuchel then. Because my thing is, if I'm a manager, like, basically, I can only think of it based off Football Manager. If let's say I'm playing Football Manager right now.
It's not called Football Head Coach.
Okay. But when I'm playing FM and so forth,
yeah.
The first thing I do in the game is I choose my formation and then I go into the transfer market. So, okay, this is how I want to play. I need this player, this player, this player with these attributes. The first thing I do as soon as the summer begins, boom, I make my list of like, no, I need this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy, because I ran into all of these issues during the season. And no, I need that right back. No, I need that playmaker. No, I need that kind of a striker. Mm-hmm. If let's say players are just shoved to me and so forth, I'm like, okay, I'll do my best, but bro, then if this team doesn't work, you can't blame me. Because you can only fully blame me where it's my philosophy. I've picked the players.
Yes.
And this is where I want to go. So for Tuchel, you can blame him to a certain degree because you're like, hey, you're still in the job, figure it out. But at the same time, Lukaku is a guy who you need to build your system around him. He's a very particular guy. He isn't adaptable, as we've seen, because he's limited as a footballer. Mm-hmm. So because a guy is limited as a footballer, bro, there's always so, like for me, if I have a team, I'm not buying Lukaku. If I have my team, if you force him upon me, I'll do my best. But the way I want my striker to play isn't like Lukaku.
I get that. If Tuchel really had direct input on the team, do you think Chelsea would be what's today? It's the 25th, the 24th. You think they'd have no left back with Chilwell out and Alonso injured or Sarr playing at? Come on. If he had direct tangible input, he would go out and buy whoever he wanted. But he doesn't. He's like, please, can you get me a left wing back? And they're like, maybe we'll bring back Kennedy. Maybe we'll bring back Emerson. We're trying it. There's some kid that's at Derby County that they're maybe trying to bring for some small money. That way they don't affect the Chilwell purchase that they did. The club and the director, the board, is the person who the problem lies with. Really, it's a Roman Abramovich problem, that the structure of the club is just dumb. But
No. Basically, between Marina, Bruce Bock, and so forth, that's where the issue is. So between both of them, that's the issue, because obviously these guys are like, because again, I don't think those are all of Lampard's targets, because Eddie, he said it beautifully. It's a Frankenstein monster. It's like an amalgamation of like 3-4 different managers. So I'm like, you have something that's just freakish. You see, Pep, this is like 2-4 years in the making. Klopp, 2-4 years in the making. Well, because of Abramovich, because Tuchel, this guy's getting sacked maybe by next season. So you have another guy who will now take it in another different direction. So
the best example is perhaps players that aren't bought. If Lampard was the manager, he gets his Ben Mee, he gets his Chris Wood, he gets his who are these guys? Declan Rice and Henderson, the goalkeeper from or was it Pope who they wanted? Like, he would go and get his England 2.0. That's what he wanted. But the club was like, I don't think so. You're going to take Werner. You're going to take Havertz. You're going to take maybe Thiago Silva. That's like a no-brainer. You do that. But like, I think the players that he actually wanted, he didn't get, because the club was like, nah, we're not going to do that. So you're going to make the best meal possible with these ingredients. If that's the structure of the club, then if you buy Lukaku for 100 million, I don't want to hear he's not his player. No, like, build a system that gets the best from Lukaku. If Lukaku is indeed a particular player, build a particular system. And then we can have the outside conversations of, you know, why that structure is silly and why he should actually be the manager and picking the players himself. But, you know, trust me, eventually it's going to get there and he's going to leave. He's going to be sacked.
No, but then this still goes back to Lukaku of like, know your limits. Which is that you should have never left Inter Milan, because at Inter Milan you had a system and everything that was built around you to suit you. So because you were so successful, even if Simone Inzaghi comes, Simone Inzaghi were like, man, look at the current season he has. I have to acquiesce to you. But now you coming over to Chelsea, okay, it's fine we did it at Inter, but we won the Champions League without you. So why do we have to acquiesce to you? Like, what have you done for us? So for him coming to Tuchel, no, I don't have to change anything around. No, you have to change those, because we won the Champions League. As opposed to Simone Inzaghi, it would be like, hey, I'm coming into this whole thing. Look how cool. I'm not going to change anything. This was a winning thing. All right, let me sit and go. But you messed up.
Yes.
You should have never left Inter Milan.
And he knows it. Otherwise, he doesn't give that interview. Have we ever had the conversation that Janet Jackson might have better albums than Michael Jackson?
I think you're confusing Beyonce and Solange.
No. Janet Jackson. Janet Jackson might have a better catalog than Mike.
Janet Jackson, I'll be real with you.
Control?
No. After
Janet?
It's okay. See, after bad, and even bad, even no. To be honest, Mike, this thing about Michael Jackson.
Mike has three good albums, like classic albums.
He has two.
So just off the wall Thriller and
that's it.
Are we gonna give him Dangerous? We're not gonna give him Dangerous.
No.
Janet has like at least three.
No. I mean, like you see, that isn't a bad call to me because see, Michael Jackson. He accentuated his albums based off of the music videos and the performance. Mm-hmm. Now, you see, Smooth Criminal is not a great song. But look at the music video.
Cool. Yeah.
Like, Bad, and I'm so sure it beats it. That's not a great track.
Thriller, the video, the music video is far better than Thriller, the actual song.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, you just said, you know, What Have You Done For Me? And it put in What Have You Done For Me Lately by Janet Jackson. Yeah. So, all right, let's do some of these questions because we did get a lot and they're pretty good. So.
That track with Q-Tip. Watch it go for me. Look, shut up. And also, what's it called? Together Again.
Together Again.
No,
Pleasure Principle?
With Janet Jackson, it is exactly as Solange. Beyonce, look, I know, look, whatever, but look, it's like, let me just get this out. Beyonce is way a better singer than Solange, but Solange just has a better ear for making
artistic,
a complete
Yeah,
product.
She's a better artist. She's more artistic.
Basically, she's a better artist. Like Michael Jackson, but I think Janet Jackson, she's nowhere near as good a singer as Michael Jackson, but in terms of just creating a body of work, it works better than because Michael Jackson. By the time he got to Bad, the guy was look. He was look. He was.
No. We know.
Look, he was white. So what can we say?
Okay.
Black Mike over White Mike, by the way. So although White Mike had some tracks, so White Mike had some tracks. Black Mike.
You were not alone. It's good. Have you seen the music video? The music video is.
Do you know who wrote that song? There we go.
Robert. Oh boy. Okay. Instead of VAR, this is from Real ADHD3. I don't know why we would do that. Okay. Instead of VAR reviewing a clear and obvious replay for 5 minutes, then calling the ref to review it again, why don't they just call the ref over to the booth to begin with? Also, should VAR replays be in real time or in slow motion? I think they should all be.
The first thing is basically time. Time.
Yeah.
So you want to just keep things flowing. So they're like, rather than just calling them over, it's like basically you want to remain the fluidity of full football, which you don't get in rugby, NFL. And so like rugby, NFL, NBA, it stops that, which is an excuse to putting ads and so forth. So the whole thing is like, bro, okay, I've seen it. I trust you don't need to look at it. Let's keep it going. So
the slow motion aspect of that question is more interesting than the time. If you put anything in slow motion, it can look bad. So, for instance, I didn't think the Alex Iwobi challenge was a red card. But when you slow it down, you can talk yourself into it.
It's a red.
Of course you want to say that.
No. It's a red because it's like, you have to go, law. The law is the law. Like, they said, you show your studs, ankle area. It's a red. It's dangerous. Now, I wouldn't give it because I'm like, hey, look, it happens in the course of the game, but less of the law. You show your studs, ankle thingy, boom. And it's like, why are you even making a tackle like that?
I didn't think he was making a tackle. I thought he was making a gesture to control the ball. And the Tunisia player was coming in to nick it. And when Iwobi was putting his foot down to control the ball, he went over it. Maybe silly, stupidly. If he goes for like a poke and a tackle motion, nothing happens. But he goes to control. And because he goes to control, I don't look at that as like intent to do something bad. But perhaps intent doesn't matter. But when you slow it down, it looks like it's a red card if you slow it down. In real time, I didn't think it would... I thought it was a yellow card at worst, but even he looked shocked. I was more shocked he was on the pitch to begin with, but I'm sure we have more questions about this.
Well, no, I was shocked he was in the squad. So.
next question, non-ironically. How much confidence does Have Hope from Just D's GH? The GH is Ghana, yes. Have for his wingless Super Eagles against my Black Stars in March?
Not as I said again, maybe you may have not listened to my post-match thingy, but if Nigeria confirm the Portuguese sailor as the manager, I am boycotting the team till further notice. So, it depends on who gonna hire. Yeah. Depends on the manager that's gonna hire. But I think that match could go either way.
Do you know who they should hire?
I think as of right now, like, I don't know where Nigeria football is headed right now. So for me, I don't even know in what context they will be in. And I think what you see in Africa and so forth is expect the unexpected. Expect the unexpected.
Can I also, like, the reason that we did the complicated Chelsea show was to avoid long ass Chelsea conversation. I'm sorry, guys. there was an exact reason we created that thing, and we just exemplified. I just realized, like, yeah, we did run our mouth on Chelsea because a lot of these questions are about Chelsea. So, is every L that Chelsea hand to Conte reparations for that second unnecessary lawsuit? Yes. From Black Emoji, he also asked the Ajax version of Ziyech incoming. Or Tottenham just that bad? It could be both. I think Tottenham aren't that great, and their manager would tell you that. And maybe, like we said in the beginning, yeah, maybe Ziyech is, like, you know, the adaptation period. Some players, if it's like Alexis Sanchez or Diego Costa, if you remember when they came into the Premier League, they just, you know, hit the ground running and, you know, it was amazing. Some players, it takes a little bit of time to adapt, and maybe coming from Eredivisie to Premier League, you know, you need to, I don't know, eat better food, sleep more, drink more water, lift more weights, whatever the case may be. And I think with Ziyech, he's like a temperamental is not right, but, like, I think he needs to know the group that he's with. Like, what runs is he going to make? Do I need to go short, go long? Like, what is the idea of not just what the manager wants, but what my teammates are going to do, and that will help. So there are some passes that he's making now that I'm like, okay, he just knows what such and such is going to do before they do it. And that's going to help him develop. But is the die cast in people's minds to where he can't pull it back? Like, basically with the first 18 months or so, like, that bad, to where it's just like, now we need a new X winger or whatever it is. X meaning left or right.
The formation that Tuchel has gone to has been 4-2-2-2-2. So maybe that's contributed to the help, man. You know,
say that formation again.
So, you know, because Tuchel has gone to his 4-2-2-2 that he used at
PSG. Okay. I was just making maybe sure you didn't put in ZH. 4-2s. It sounded like 4-2-2-2-2.
I mean, basically, okay, 4-2-2-2 because it's 4-2-2-2-2-2-2-2. Just say 4-2-2-2. Okay. So.
Josh Sargent. Why can't I say Josh Sargent? Over Christian Pulisic, football's Dwayne Wade over football LeBron from Kwamina. I don't know exactly what the Dwayne Wade over LeBron is, but Sargent, I know he played at Werder Bremen some seasons ago. I think he's with, is he with Watford now? Who's sacked their manager within the past couple of hours? He scored a couple goals.
Wait, who's
on
this?
The weekend.
Who's
this? Sargent, he's an American footballer that plays in the Premier League. No, Norwich. Is it Norwich? Now I'm compelled to look it up. Josh Sargent. Norwich. It is Norwich. It's Norwich. It's Norwich. It's not Watford. He scored a couple goals. His first goals in the Premier League. So I guess people are gassed. More Chelsea questions. Is Havertz suited for Chelsea? And is Chelsea holding him back because they're not using him properly? You can take that one, Double H.
No, I think for Havertz, it needs time. Because there's talents there. I mean, it would be interesting if Havertz, let's say, worked on his upper body so he just got a little bit stronger so he could hold the ball up better. Mm-hmm. But I think a guy who can play multiple positions and adapt to multiple roles in attack, like wing, number 10, attacking midfielder, false nine, there's use there. But I just think that it just comes into training and just has to improve certain aspects to his game. And I think if he does that, man, no, the guy can be like, because he's so young, there can be a lot of improvements. It just comes down to the right coach. Because imagine if you say, ah, now Havertz doesn't work, he now goes to Klopp or Pep. 2 years, the guy's now like a world class player. You're like, oh, damn it.
How old is Havertz? 22. He'll be 23 in the summer. So, yeah. Which opposition player from Suleiman was so good that you guys just couldn't hate them and just had to appreciate how good they were at football? For me, it was prime Mesut Ozil at Real Madrid. So an opposition player who was so good that you couldn't hate and just had to appreciate.
So this is like a rival team?
I guess.
So, okay, I wouldn't call this a rival, but I'll just say a team that I didn't like. Because maybe because they were so good and so forth, I would say Iniesta.
Okay.
Because yeah, I just that whole tiki-taka thing wasn't a fan, but I'm like, bro, that guy was good, man.
Rival. See, when I think of rivals, and I'm thinking like, when was I deep in my Chelsea bag? It's like 2007, 2008, 2009, 2010, 2011, 2012-ish. there was a good run of years, man. up until, you know, Paris. Manchester United were the main rivals, I would say, for things. And my favorite footballer that I just couldn't hate, even though he was for a rival team, was Berbatov. The dude was just too silky. Like, players that look like they don't care, but they're just too techie. Like, those are my favorite kind of players, which is why when people say, I want Havertz to be more energetic, like, he looks languid and lazy. But some of the touches he makes, it's like, oh, I see. Like, he doesn't need to try because he's that good. Like, Zidane had some of those qualities as well. Like, I think he was a bit more energetic than Berbatov, obviously, and Havertz. But just players that make the game look very easy to where it's like, I think you should be trying harder. But it's like, why would I need to try? Because I'm dope like this. So Berbatov is, like, when he played for Spurs as well. So Spurs and United, like, when he was with them, I couldn't hate. And I'm not somebody who hates like that. I hate Chelsea players more than I hate like opposition players.
Damn.
Bro, did you see what John Terry posted today?
John Terry.
Willian is a monkey? Like, are you
NFT,
kidding me?
Man, that it's like an NFT. I mean, what's an NFT? Like non-fungible. I mean, what the hell are those
things? Non-fungible token. I don't know what it means, but that's what it is. So yeah. I would go with Berbatov. Half-hole's going in, yes. Three more questions. What did you think of the refereeing in the Crystal Palace-Liverpool game? Seemed like, from a Palace point of view, there were many questionable calls and inconsistent decision-making that you could ask questions about, puts in brackets, redacted. So I don't remember who the referee of that game was. I thought the penalty was soft in the sense that I think Jota knew that the ball was gone and he saw if I just move a little bit to my what would it be right I can maybe win a penalty here, and then they went to the VAR and they gave a penalty. So yeah, I thought the penalty was a bit trash. Other decisions that were made, I can't quite remember. Maybe there were some red card things that happened that I don't remember, but yeah, I thought Patrick Vieira, man, at halftime, he made some changes. He played with two up top and, you know, it changed the game. Liverpool had some issues. But as for the refereeing, yeah, the penalty was a bit eh.
I don't know. I mean, EPL refereeing has always been a bit so suspect, man. But
indeed. Vinny and most likely Benzema will be out for Madrid's next La Liga game from Sudan's TG. And likely the Copa del Rey game against Bilbao and Granada at home. It's one last chance for Eden Hazard to prove he can lead an attack. Will he rise or will he blow one final chance? So basically, there's a bunch of attackers out for Madrid. Hazard's going to get another chance. How's he going to do? He didn't look too bad in the 20 minutes that I watched against, was it Elche?
Yeah, Elche. You see glimpses, man. You do see glimpses.
He doesn't look out of shape anymore. He looks as good as can be expected for somebody who's been injured a bunch. It's not like he's been eating cheeseburgers. I think we can put that joke away. And he's in a white kit. I've always said the white kit will expose you because wearing white as a bigger person, you look bigger. With Chelsea, they wore dark colors.
Yeah, no, because like when he was moving, I could see that's barely moving around.
Yeah, the shirt doesn't help him. Like when Willian had to go and wear like like Arsenal white and red, it's like, bro, like, come on, man. Oh no, it was in the yellow shirt. Do you remember preseason? He was wearing the yellow shirt. they made fun of him, and he was just like, you know what? That however many millions, well, you can keep it, man. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. So yeah, Hazard's gonna get chances. Of course, they paid again another player who you paid 100 mil for. You could use the same argument with Lukaku that you could with Hazard, except for the fact that I don't think Hazard at his peak is a system player. He can play anywhere. But if you're doing well at a place, why leave? Except for the dream. That's players leave for the dream. Lukaku dreamt of playing at Stamford Bridge, so he left a really good situation in Milan, Inter Milan, but the city. He went back to London because that's what his heart wanted. Eden, his dream was never to be a Chelsea legend, I don't think. He always wanted to play for Madrid. So that was his dream. And then, you know, dreams turn to nightmares or whatever Meek Mill was rapping about. Could make the same argument maybe for Cristiano now.
No. The Hazard documentary needs to come up because something needs to...
We should make it. To
explain to me what happened between...
We should make it.
Chelsea and Real Madrid. Like, that's what happened in that summer. Like, that's like a move in and of itself.
One more question. Yeah. So the Bengals, this is an NFL/football question, but all right, we'll try. So the Bengals won the AFC North division title from Jax365. The quarterback, Joe Burrow, celebrated differentially? What do you mean? Maybe just differently is what you mean. He celebrated differently with his white and black teammates. In my opinion, code switching is very important for a quarterback. So which positions or coach positions in football are code switching important? So basically, what positions on the pitch do you need to be good with different people? I think you can make an argument for every position everywhere. You need the ability to relate to different people if there are indeed different people around.
Wait, hold on. Can you just go back to that? Wait, I'm confused.
Yes.
What was Joe Burrow doing? He said that he
was celebrating differently. He doesn't explain it, and I don't know. So,
okay.
But maybe he was like, I don't know. He was giving his white teammates handshakes, and then he was giving his black teammates dap. Who knows? I don't know. I'm just making up. I don't know what it could be. But you know, I guess it's code switching is how Jax365 interprets it. So. Obviously, I think all managers need to be able to do this if you want to be effective, or head coaches, obviously. You have to be able to interact with different, not just races, but ages and temperaments and different things. As for players, maybe like center back, because they're generally the most vocal position on the pitch, perhaps, or whoever your best central midfielder is, whoever your captain is, basically. Does a striker really need to, maybe, I don't know. It's a weird one. I think everybody needs to be better with like interacting with different people. It's hard to single out one particular thing, but especially the person who's leading or steering the ship.
Maybe, I mean, basically you need to be adaptable, you know? Yeah. So
it wouldn't just imagine if, if Lukaku can only receive passes from N'Golo Kante and Rudiger and Hudson-Odoi, but because he doesn't have some, I don't know, racial consciousness with Werner and Havertz and Mount, it just doesn't work. Like, if that was the reality, then all right. Just buy a bunch of black people and Chelsea will win the Champions League every year because Lukaku will score 50 goals or some shit like that. Like, I don't think that's how it works. I think you need to be able to just have that understanding, like I said, with most of your teammates. All right. Is there any other topic left?
I think we've pretty much covered. But I think basically those questions.
Yeah. Did we hit AFCON? I think I no, we did. We touched on it briefly because
we only talked
about Nigeria, but Cameroon and Comoros. The thing about the goalkeepers is very odd, but by the time this comes out, the result will be done. So,
yeah. Cameroon will destroy them. You know, they have an outfield player in goal for Comoros because of
COVID. Do you know what's very interesting is that the rules changed from the group stage to the round of 16. If you were positive, then had a negative COVID test in the round of or in the group stage rather, there was like a shorter time span than there is now to get back into the team. And they're saying perhaps it's because the the African Football Federation and Cameroon are like, you know, being clever, put it that way, and making sure that the one goalkeeper that does have a negative test, but that was positive a few days ago, like he's not going to make it, even though he's had negative tests. So did you see Burkina Faso? Like the goalkeeper doing the backflips after the penalty shootout?
Oh, no. I didn't.
What? You didn't see that, man? You got to go on Twitter and see the dude doing backflips. Ironically, maybe not ironically. It's not even related in any way. It's not even ironic. Their government, like the military, arrested the president like the day after or like hours after the game. There was like a coup in Burkina Faso.
Oh, damn.
So like right after they advanced to the quarters. So blessings to the people there in Burkina Faso. Yeah. Shout out to the legacy of Thomas Sankara. And, you know, we can get out of here. We good?
Yeah, man, we're good.
No extra. We're gonna.
Let's try and book it for like some later this week. Yeah, we can try and fix in.
Oh no, I can post an extra. I mean, like a throwback. I think we have 4 or 5 left. So
okay. Or I think Thursday could be fine for me. You know, I could maybe do Thursday. So, but I'll let you know that. I'll let you know.
Okay. Sure. No problem. We can do it in the WhatsApp. Pause. all right, so yeah, guys, next week hopefully there'll be a podcast next week. It's deadline day and all that, but the likelihood is your boys are going to be taking a break for the international break. We'll be back after the AFCON final. Hopefully, you know, we'll have some good games and good stuff to talk about. And yeah, Talking Tactics Podcast, you can catch us on Spotify, Apple Podcast. We're on Patreon. All the links are in the description. Half Hope can be found at halfhopefootballhut.com.
Yep.
I'm at Daniel Taluk. We will see you guys in hopefully next week, but more than likely Fortnite. Follow us on Twitter and we'll keep you updated. Talking Tactics Podcast, sometimes funny, sometimes serious.
Always football.
Indeed. Peace.
Peace.
You know, I can make you do peace by going peace. It's funny.